Good evening, everyone. I hope that you have a Bible with you or an electronic device that has a Bible app. If you would take that out at this time and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. That's where we're going to be beginning this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read a few verses from that letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren as we begin this evening. It's great that everyone is here tonight. If you're a member, we're so thankful that you're here, that you've come back this evening to be with us. And if you're visiting, we're exceptionally excited about your presence here with us. We hope that you will stick around for a few minutes after services this evening. Let us get to know you a little better. If you ever have another opportunity to visit back with us here at O'Neill, we hope that you will take that opportunity. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to be reading verses 14 through 17. I hope you have your Bible out. Let's be in God's Word together as we study. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul, as he's writing to the Corinthian brethren there, he says, I want you to remember. I'm sending Timothy to you so that you will remember my ways, the things that I have taught you. But these aren't just things that I have taught to you. These are things that I teach everywhere and in every church. What Paul is talking about here is the fact that he was consistent. Everywhere he went, no matter what the place, what the church, no matter who the people were there, who he was with, or what the situation was, he was consistent. He was consistent in who he was and who he served. Tonight, as we study together, that's what I would like for us to consider. Spiritual consistency. The things that we can learn from God's Word as we study it about being consistent on a daily basis. You know, as we begin to think about spiritual consistency, I think we have to determine one thing from the very beginning. I think we have to determine that we are going to be consistent every day in the things that we do, in the way that we serve God. You know, the thing that I struggle with, and Angela can tell you, and my children as well, is that the thing that I struggle with the most is what I'm consistent at. You see, I am generally just consistently inconsistent. I don't do the things that I need to do on a daily basis. I don't act the way that I should. I don't do those things that would be pleasing to God. And many of you probably struggle with the same thing. We're consistently inconsistent in the way that we serve God. As we begin tonight, let's make this first point. And that is that we have to have consistency in who we serve. Now, I realize that that may be the most obvious statement ever made from this pulpit. That we have to consistently serve God. But as we look to Scripture, we're reminded over and over and over again of this very point. And the reason that we are constantly reminded of this point, even though it is so obvious, it's because we forget it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21, Paul there says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Jesus says basically the same thing in Matthew chapter 6. verse 24 there, he says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the world. But we try. Every day, we try. We try to be pleasing to God. We try to be pleasing to the world. That's being spiritually inconsistent. See, if we are consistent in who we serve, we don't serve the world. We only serve God. And we see this over and over again in Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says these words. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast. Be consistent. Be immovable. Be consistent. Always abound in the work of the Lord. Be consistent. Paul tells them, and he tells us, be consistent, be consistent, be consistent in serving God. But why? Because we know. We know that the things that we do, it's not in vain. We know that we will be rewarded for being consistent in our service to God. That's what Paul wanted the Corinthians to know. That's what he wants us to know. That we will be rewarded for that spiritual consistency. Revelation chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. He says, I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. You will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful until death. Be consistent. You know, we don't suffer the same things that these people suffered. We don't suffer the same tribulation that they suffered. But we suffer temptation. We suffer through things that we have to deal with, and through sickness and through trying times. Our life isn't just easy all the time. Sometimes serving God and doing the right thing seems difficult. Sometimes that feels like a struggle. But it's not. Because we have hope. We know that there is something greater than this life. We know that the God that we serve has made promises to us. And He will uphold those promises if we're faithful to Him. It says, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. I will give you that reward for being consistent. First Corinthians chapter 9. Paul there makes a very familiar statement to us. Verses 26 and 27, he says, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Many people think that Paul was a runner. He mentions that several times throughout different letters that he writes. There was a quote that distant runners use from time to time. It's not how many miles you run in a day. It's how many days you run a mile. See, in order to be able to run long distances, in order to be able to have the endurance to do those things, you don't just go out one day and do it. You go day after day, little by little. Paul says, that's what we do. That's who we're to be. We don't go out just on Sunday and serve God. And then the rest of the week, forget who He is or forget who we are. We don't get all of our service to God today. We do it every day, little by little, building up to be a stronger Christian, to serve Him better. So we have to have consistency in who we serve. We also have to have consistency in the example that we set. Paul there, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, those verses we just read, he's talking about being consistent. And he ends there, he says, so that I may not be disqualified. He's talking about the example that he sets. The fact that the way that we live affects people. People are affected by how we live and the example that we set. Romans chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. He says, "They're confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law?" He's saying here, you know, if we're going to teach, if we're going to try to bring others to God, the example that we set is important. I know that the high school class always gets tired of me saying this, because when I'm back there teaching them, I always talk to them about the importance of our influence and the example that we set towards others, and how that we only affect people in one of two ways, either in a positive way or a negative way. We either are bringing people to Christ or we're pushing them away by the way that we live, by the example that we set. That's what Paul was referring to. Paul was referring to the fact that, you know, I could be disqualified. I could lead someone away and not be able to teach them because of the example I've already set in front of them. The example that we set matters. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3, it says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not consider the plank in your own eye?" See, lots of times when we're thinking about people being spiritually inconsistent, we like to worry about everybody else. I don't worry about whether or not I'm being inconsistent. I just want you to know that Matt's being inconsistent. Or James is being inconsistent. Or someone else is being inconsistent. I can see their flaws, but I can't see my own. You see, we have to take that inventory of ourselves. We have to take that personal inventory when we're thinking about the example that we're setting. And whether we're being consistent in that example. Titus chapter 1, verse 16 says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. What he's saying is that our example that we set, the way that we live, it affects people and we don't even know it. We don't even realize it sometimes, the example that we're setting for others. And the way that we can push others away just by the way that we live. We can bring others to Christ just by the way we live as well. We can bring others to Him by being that good example, by showing others what a Christian is supposed to be, by showing others how we're to live and how we're to treat each other, how we're to speak, and how we're to serve. Our example matters, and it's something that we should take seriously on a daily basis. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. A while back, I believe it was Stuart, preached a sermon about the cross and talked a little bit about this idea of taking up your cross daily. What that meant. And the idea of being consistent in what we're doing. Being a consistent example for good to others. It's something that we should do on a daily basis. It's something that we should strive to do on a daily basis. Something that we should choose to do on a daily basis. Being that good example to others. You know, we talk about being an example to others and being consistent in the things that we're doing. And what we have to realize is that consistency defines who we are in every aspect of our life. Now, you can probably think about someone at your work or at your school, or at your church, who's reliable. Who, if you had a problem, you would go and talk to this one person. And you would seek them out for encouragement or for guidance. You would ask them for help when you needed it. Maybe before you went to anyone else. And the reason that person comes to your mind is because of consistency. Because you know they'll be there. You know that they'll give you encouragement and support. You know that they will give you guidance. You know that they will give you an answer whether you like it or not. They'll give you the support that you need. Now you can think of that person. The person that you would go to. Well, now we need to ask ourselves this question. Is anybody thinking about you? Are you that person to anybody? You can be. We all can be. We just have to be consistent in who we are. Consistent in who we serve. Consistent in the example that we set. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, he says, "But let your yes be yes and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." You know, being that person that someone comes to for advice doesn't mean that you have to be that person that always says yes, that always gives them the answer that they want. It means you're that person that tells them what they need to hear. And we can be that. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, he says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so that because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." God, they're talking about the church at Laodicea. And being lukewarm, being inconsistent. You're not one way or the other. He says, "I wish you were. I wish you were either this way or that way. But don't be right in the middle." Sometimes you've probably heard people say, "You know, I'd rather you just tell me the truth. If you don't want to do something, just tell me you don't want to do it." Then to say, "Well, maybe so," and just kind of put you off. Just tell me no. Just tell me yes. You know, that's what's being said. You don't have to always agree with that person to be the person that they turn to. Staying there in those same thoughts, those same churches that are written to, Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, he says, "To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. I know the things that you've been doing. I know your works. I know your love and your service and your faith and your patience." But then verse 20, he starts with, "Notwithstanding," which today we would just say, "But I know you've done all these things, but there's this woman named Jezebel who's in your midst." See, consistency defines us because just because we did something once doesn't mean people will always remember that. People remember us for doing good when we do good over and over and over again. And we continue to do good. It will take work, though. Consistency takes work. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." We have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. You remember when you became a Christian? The zeal that you had, the faith that you had, the courage that you had to stand up before people, say that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, be baptized for the remission of your sins. He says, carry that. Take that confidence that you had in the beginning and be steadfast. Be consistent to the end. Consistency defines who we are. Defines who we are because of who we serve. Defines us by the example that we set. We can lead others to Christ by being spiritually consistent. If you're here this evening and you are not a Christian, you wish to begin your journey with Christ, be entered into the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, we would invite you to come. If you're here and you are a Christian, you have sin in your life that's public that you need to make correction of. If there's any way we can assist you, we'd invite you to come while we stand.